Morning, everyone. I have Sunday school kids. You all can go. All right. I hope you all still awake. Only a few people. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is Lord. Turn to your other neighbor, say, Jesus is Lord. Say, now Jesus is here. Turn to the other side and say, Jesus is here. And now you say, Jesus will reveal himself. And to the other side. And to the other side, Jesus will reveal himself. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we come together, Lord, truly you are revealing yourself to us today. We are not just here gathering together for fun or for just to be together or to come to church because it's on schedule. But Lord, we are here to encounter you, Lord. We are here to see you. And Lord, we ask for your grace and your mercy to reveal yourself to us, that once we see, once we behold your glory, that we will also begin to change from glory to glory. Lord, that each and every one of us, our hearts will be burned with truth, with this desire to seek truth and your righteousness, and we will put aside everything, the things of the world, but will set our mind on the things of above. Set our mind on things above, and Lord, that we'll always seek you all the days of our life, Lord. And speak to us, as you have spoken in the book of Revelation to the seven churches, that today you will speak to us as well, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. So today, I just want to share a bit from the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, actually. But just to sort of summarize what God has been speaking to me. Even when I'm away with my wife, you know, in Europe, we're still listening to the messages on Sunday. And there is like a theme, kind of, like going not only from here, but also in the churches that we visited. And it seems that you can see that truly Christ is speaking to his church, and all the messages, in the end, the essence is the same. Yeah? And just to go to the next slide about the previous messages, there is, so when the week that we left, there is two messages by Brother Adrian and Sister Grace about casting out mindsets, because without renewing our mind, we can't change. Because as Pastor Ludwig talked about this morning, when we behold the glory of Christ, when Jesus revealed himself, not only we go, oh wow, he's nice and all this, but there's going to be a few things that will convict our hearts that we need to change, right? When God reveals himself, you know, you see throughout the Bible, people normally fall and start repenting because they know something's not right when Jesus looks at us. Amen? Okay? But the encouragement is that he gives us the way to repent. He provides his blood that is so powerful to cleanse us of all our sins and the power to change. Amen? Right? And when we were in Hillsong Church in London, this was the same theme about, you know, the old wine not in the new, sorry, the new wine not in the old wineskin, and how to make the old wineskin new, you soak it in oil, which means having the Holy Spirit and all that, right? And then it was Father's Day, well, the Australian Father's Day, right? And then Pastor Joseph shared about our father, my father. And then Pastor Rich shared about seeking and knowing God. And Uncle Donald last week shared with us about, you know, this great God of ours. He's our Father. He cares for us, right? And he has a great plan for us, right? We don't have to seek the things in the world. The answer is in him, right? And as we seek him, he will also speak to us and we'll begin to change. Amen? All right? And then the last one is, after that, I think Pastor Louis might have started it with the 70 weeks prophecy, then understanding times, and then as we came back, we went to the Daniel class. Again, now the emphasis on knowing the times, the end times. Know and be ready. Know what? Firstly, know God. Firstly, know what he's saying to us. know all this and be ready because the end times, there's going to be testing. Because it's not going to be just, let's just, you know, smoothly go through life. But there is going to be something that will shake us. And if our foundation is not strong, as what Grace shared last week, then we will fall. Yeah? So all this, wow, why we are having all these messages coming out, it's just to remind us over and over and over that for us, especially, for myself especially, is life goes, right? And things are changing, and we gotta know our foundation, and we also have to change according to the foundation or to the principles that we've learned, because sometimes, I mean, me included, we go astray. Amen? Right? Can you all say that? Right? So, seek to know more and more about God. Seek to know more and more about His Word. And all that we've going through in life group, in Daniel Club, or whatever, it's all not gone to waste. Amen? All right? And I think Pastor Luis shared this thing about, you know, the recipe that he had about the chicken, cooking chicken, right? And we were sharing together, and then I said this. When he shared that, I got this extra revelation. You know, the recipe to cook the chicken is the same. But depending on what the chicken is and all this, you have to adjust, right? So, for me, God is speaking to us. It's like, what God's principle is the same. It doesn't change, right? What must change is according to the times, right? Sometimes we can't just keep saying the same thing over and over, but we got to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. We got to see what God is speaking to us. Amen? All right? So if not, we become religious. It's like, no, 2 kilo means, or, you know, this long means this long. We're like, you don't do that to cooking, right? You know how to adjust roughly. So, but then the principle is the recipe still the same. The Word of God still the same. Amen? This is our recipe manual. Amen? All right, let's go. So in these last days, and we hear this all the time. People say, wow, the times are changing. What is going on? And things like that. So we got to be even more grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Yeah? And we see here, next slide, please. So with this theme about the end times, the last days, right? So I begin to sort of meditate on the book of Timothy, and especially from where it comes from about talking about the last days. So shall we read this together? Maybe I'll read one verse and then you read one verse, okay? So 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. But notice that in the last days, perilous times will come. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Next slide. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. All right, so if we go to the next slide, we see that it talks about in the last days there will be perilous times. And then they describe the men or the perilous men, what they are, right? And we probably don't need to go so much into biblical like study to know that nowadays we can see this all over the world, right? Men who are lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, you know, unthankful, unholy, and et cetera, et cetera. But if we just look closely at what it means by perilous, okay, it's from the Strong Concordance there. It basically says that it is something that is hard to do, to take, or to approach. Hard to bear, troublesome and dangerous, or harsh, fierce and savage, which means this time will be the time of testing or time of stress. Meaning, at this time, if we are not careful, if we are just like, you know, happy-go-lucky, as they say, you know, we will fall. We cannot overcome. Amen? But that's why it's so important for us to be rooted and grounded in our faith in the Lord Jesus. Because if we see this word being used again in another part, if we go... I'm supposed to share something else. Next one. Sorry. So what I was supposed to share was that we don't have to see, like, we don't have to go far. We don't have to go all the way to Germany to know that these are the last days and there is perilous times and there is perilous men. So just to give you a little break, right, to just share you about who knows who this is. King, okay. Don't answer. We went. All right. Okay, so this is called King Ludwig, not Pastor Ludwig, but same spelling. King Ludwig II of Bavaria. Now, he's famous for building castles, right? And when we go, so one of the things that when we went to Europe, Pastor Joseph always reminded, see beyond the natural. See what you can feel in the spirit. So, long story short, he's this king that built so many castles, and now when we go there, when we went to that castle, you just go, wow, it's just amazing, the scale of it, the intricacy, the art, and all this. But and this is one of the most famous one because this is where the Disney castle is based on. Apparently, it's in Sleeping Beauty if you've watched that. Okay, so and it's a very beautiful castle, right? But when one of the things that that I felt going to these places and knowing about the rich history of these kings and all that, and another king that I want to show you, the next one, who can know, this is a French king, and not Nebuchadnezzar. French king, what's the most famous name? King Louis. Okay, if you see there, that's the answer. And what number is that, King Louis the? That's 14, okay? You got to learn your Roman numbers, okay? So same thing with this King Louis. His one of his famous castle is in the Palace of Versailles, right? And you see there very nice golden gate, which apparently during the revolution, it was actually taken down and melt for gold, right? And so this one is rebuilt, apparently. And also the gardens behind the palace is just magnificent. It's just... Anyway, so now I feel like I want to go back. Anyway, so again, it's just, and the story is, and it's so interesting to hear the stories from the tour guides because they actually give all these different background histories of why King Louis wants to build this. Now imagine this, right? Apparently, this was a swampland. And can you imagine just to build the foundation, they got to pump out all the water first. And then they slowly bring in soil and all this, right? And why am I saying all this? How does this relate? Is that apparently why he wanted to build this is just to show the people or the nobility that he has power. He just wanted to show this. King Ludwig was a bit more quote-unquote selfish. He builds it because he loves castle, he loves art, he loves the old... stories of castles and all this, and that's why he built, I think, 3 or 4 that was completed, and there's a lot more that is apparently in progress, right? Basically, they've spent all their money, right? The family money. And we don't have to go so far to see that this doesn't only happen in kings and people who are rich, so-called, but now we see people, instead of seeking God, they are building their lives in, in possessions, with money and show of power. And then I begin to say, it's sad in a way that when they talk about the times when they were doing this, it's usually when the times are hard. So the people are also suffering. Like, you know, bread prices are going up and so on. So why am I talking about this is that when I saw this, it's easy to point out, ayo, why this king like that? Why never give to the people and all this? But then a check for me, for myself, is that, do I have this? You know, some of us, we may not be as extravagant as want to build a palace, but what are we building in our life? What do we put first? Is it the things like this, gold, silver, and all this? Or are we actually building ourselves in the Word of God? things that are eternal. Yeah? And this is basically what God tell me. Wherever I go, it's like, when man without God, this is, you see the manifestation. And when men without God seeing that, they will just be, you know, be amazed and be wowed by it. But if you don't see beyond, you can see that this can be also ourself. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So, all right, so that's just a bit from our Europe trip. Okay, now back to perilous times and perilous people, okay? Now, another time that the word perilous is used is that here in Matthew 8:28, when it says, Jesus had come to the other side, to the country of Gethsemanes, yeah, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. So this exceedingly fierce, the root word is the same. Okay? And so there is no one that can pass that way. And suddenly they cry out saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now here, it's showing that when, during the last days, there will be the spirit, right? What we call the spirit of Antichrist will not come and in a nice way, but it will be fierce. Okay? It will be harsh. It will test us, right? But in this story as well, we have an encouragement. When we see that when the spirit saw Jesus, they fell. So, this speaks to us is that when we have the spirit of Christ in us, truly rooted and grounded in our foundation, then whatever that is harsh and bad that is coming against, trying to stop us, like it says that no one could pass that way, but if we come in the name of Jesus, they have to bow and they have to go away. Amen? All right? So can you see the hope here? When we have Jesus, these times, these perilous times and people will not bother us. We can overcome them. Amen? All right? So, okay? So now, in times of testing, what do we need? So just to build on what Grace shared last week about building our foundation, then from our foundation, there is three things that will sort of come out. When I read the book of Timothy, these three, what we call virtues or character qualities, is keep repeated in the book of Timothy, right? First and second. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, they give a bit extra definition of what kind of faith, all right? What kind of love and what kind of hope, or how is it demonstrated? So besides the strong foundation, our foundation will help us build these three characters, but also we need this to come out of our life. Amen? All right? So this is how I imagine it. If I am... this one? The picture? Okay. All right? This is just for me to visualize it and to remember it better. So the triangle in the middle, we have Christ as our foundation. Right? We've learned from Derek Prince, lesson one is founded on the rock, right? We build our life on Jesus, all right? Jesus is the rock. And then, in the book of Timothy, I just highlight these three things where I talk about having faith, love, and hope. Everyone say with me, faith, love, and hope. Okay? And then I also put some other qualities as well, which I'm not going to share today, but this is what is said in when you read the book of Timothy. Okay, so like for example, with righteousness, 1 Timothy 6:6 talk about, you know, having a clear conscience, you know, a godliness with contentment so that we are not tempted by the things in the world, right, by riches, all right? And we also see that with the book of Revelation, what Pastor Louis shared this morning about how God speaks to the seven churches, these three qualities again is always mentioned, right? Like first church, I know your faith, I know your works, but you don't have this. You repent of this, right? Return to your first love. So I won't go too much about it, but when you read about the seven churches, just pay attention to these three things. It's always that Jesus always say you have this and this, but this one you lack, and so on. Okay, so all right. So everyone say with me, work of faith. Labor of love and patience of hope. All right, so these three things, I feel like when as we build upon this on the Lord Jesus, right, because the foundation will give us faith, will give us true love, and will give us hope, then as we expand ourselves, we will begin to see how God can work in us. Amen? All right? So, work of faith. Lisa, next one. All right, so work of faith, this is where it's found in 2 Timothy 1:13, 14. So we see, if you see the structure of Timothy, so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's where it talks about perilous times. But when you see there, it says but, okay, but, which means what's before that, that Paul told Timothy to pay attention to do, because if not, when but comes, which is the perilous times, then you can't overcome it. All right, so we need all these things beforehand. So first one is 2 Timothy 1:13 to 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. So sound words can also mean sound doctrine, what Paul has been teaching Timothy. And then in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So in times, and then Jude 1, you can read there. So in times of trouble, firstly we must have is faith. Okay, our faith that is built on this foundation, the Lord Jesus. Faith, what does faith mean? Simply means belief, right? Everyone say belief. Okay, and the Bible says as well that, you know, without going too deep into it, if you don't have faith, draw from God's faith, right? When the Bible says have faith, what Dr. Jonathan explained to us is that, you know, like when you don't have something, you say, God, give me faith, right? It's like imagine God gives his measure of faith to you. Can you see that? If you don't have faith, you don't have to work. It's I don't know what you do to grow faith in you or something like that. It's not like that. It's as you spend more time with God, you ask God for faith, he can give it to you. Amen? All right? And then in James, we know that, you know, there is a thing where you say, faith without works is dead. So that's why in 1 Thessalonians, it says your work of faith. And I just roughly just ask the Holy Spirit, what does it mean by work of faith? All right? And if you turn it around for English, right? If you say faith of works, what does that mean? It means that you're putting faith in your works. But work of faith, what does that mean? It's work that came out of faith. Is that correct? When you think about it in an English term, right? It's not faith of works, which means if I do this work, I'm sure I'll be okay, right? This is what we call religious, right? I do good, do less bad, I should be okay. That's having faith in your works. But work of faith is when works comes out of our faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen? Right? And great share last week when we learned in Kevin Corner, I don't know if you remember, what our philosophy will determine our belief, right? What we believe. And then what we believe will determine our, do you all remember? Okay, this is how you remember it, okay? A, B, C, D. All right, A, B, C, D. What we believe will determine our A. What can A stand for? Attitude, okay? And our attitude will determine our B. Not beliefs. Beliefs already done, so behavior. And then behavior will determine our C. Character, and character will determine our destiny. See, easy to remember, right? A, B, C, D. Okay? So this is what we're talking about. We need to know, firstly, we not to just say, when you say, have faith, we got to know what are we having faith in. Who are we putting our faith on, right? That's why with that picture, there is that triangle of with Jesus in the middle, okay? So this, because if we don't believe, then we will falter, basically, all right? And something about believing as well, just to give you a few more things. Grace shared about changing mindsets because why? It means that why do we have to change our mindset? Because our old mindset or the wrong mindset is believing the wrong thing. And if you believe the wrong thing, that will come out differently, right? And so if we talk about renewing our mind, because we can't believe in the right thing unless we cast away the wrong belief. Is that simple? Yeah? We can't have two beliefs at the same time, basically. Right? In that sense, you have to, sometimes what God reveals to us is that there is something wrong that we are believing in. We are putting our trust or our faith in something wrong. And so, in order we can teach all the right thing, unless we cast away that wrong belief, we can't start believing the right thing. Okay? So, this is what I received from that message. Amen? Okay? So, hopefully this speaks to us as well, that not only do we know what we are believing in, but let us ask the Holy Spirit to give us a check. Is there something wrong that I'm believing in that I need to change? That is mindsets that needs to change. The other thing in Jude is that we faith can also be built because what it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's pretty obvious. Okay, the more time we pray in the Holy Spirit can also either give us the positive, give us the faith, but also can reveal that wrong thing that is in our life that we have to remove in order to move further into the positive. Okay, amen? All right? Okay. So the next one. And here, all throughout the book of 1st and 2nd book of Timothy, Paul again and again also repeats this about do not neglect the gift. Okay, so, So praying in the Holy Spirit, right, as I shared before, what we heard about the old, new wine in the old wineskin, right, that comes from Mark chapter 2, verse 22, where it says, when no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the new wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Basically, what that says is that for us, for God to do something new in us, we first must change. Our mindset first must change so that God can put in the new wine. But if we have this old wineskin, what do we do to convert it into a new wineskin? We soak it in oil, which means as we spend time in the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, that changes us from the old to new. Amen? All right? And again, here, 2 Timothy 1:6, again, talking about stirring the gift of God. This gift of God is referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit, again. And that this Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is in us now, that God has given, is not a spirit of fear. Maybe we all repeat together. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Amen? Okay, so can you see the connection here between firstly faith and your foundation, and faith and using and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. All right, next one is labor of love. All right, here the kind of love that Paul describes to Timothy to have is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from sincere faith. All right, and in Romans as well, where we talk about love, the importance of love, because basically love, when we love one another, we fulfill the law. And also then with the the title again, labor of love or love of labor. What does that mean when you turn that around? Love of labor means love doing works, love doing things. But labor of love is the labors that come out of loving someone. For example, yeah? Okay, do you all agree? Yeah, I only did ESL in school, so mine's very simple, all right? Labor of love and love of labor. What we don't want is love of labor, where we like to do things, but forgetting about who we are doing it for and that love, right? So, and we know the example from that is, Lisa, just do it twice. We know that in Luke 10, we see with the problem with Martha, basically, right? Mary and Martha, where Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. All right? So basically, long story short, you know that Mary was spending time with Jesus, but Martha was in the kitchen doing something, busy. And then when Martha comes out, she scolded Jesus and said what? Right? And he said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So Do you not care that I'm working alone? Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. So here, it speaks to me that my relationship with God cannot be compromised because of the things I want to do for Him. Yeah? And again, because we can be busy doing so many things that we forget who we put our love in, and when during perilous times, these times of stress, we can be bogged down with so much work that then we fall. Yeah? So it's just a warning for me again. It's like, wow, okay, good to build foundation and all this. Then when I say that, Lord, I love you, all right, and we can quote Mark 12:30, right? Love God with all my heart, all my soul, my mind, and all my strength. Then we've only focused on the strength part. Oh, I will love with all my strength, so I do everything I can. That's not wrong, but you got to check ourselves. Yeah? Are we having labor of love, or are we having love of labor? Amen? Okay? All right, next one. Patience of hope. Okay. So here, if you see that picture there, who knows what that English idiom refers to? Running around like a headless chicken. Okay? So to me, what it means by having patience of hope is that, okay, again, patience of hope means the patience that comes out because I know what I'm hoping, I'm putting my hope on, all right? And when we put our hope on something that that is unchangeable like God, right, what Uncle Donald shared 2 weeks ago about, you know, this great God, He cares for us. He cannot change. Man will change, right? In fact, when we were in France, they talk about, one thing I learned historically is interesting was there was more than one revolution. I didn't know that. I thought there was only one, right? When they talk about the French Revolution, there's actually three major ones, and there's little ones in between as well. Because man basically doesn't know what they want. A while they say, we don't want king. Why they're always spending so much our money and all this. Topple the king, then they got an emperor, right? What do you call him? Napoleon. And then after Napoleon, no, we don't want Napoleon. We want ourselves to rule. Okay, and then you got the people, right? The government. And then after that, they bring in again a king. No. Now we want king again. We want king. And then again, the cycles kind of go on. So it's like, basically what the tour guide was telling us is like, French people, either they love to complain and they like to change things. Okay? So anyway, sorry, come back to that. So again, then God was speaking. Sometimes we also like that. A while we want this, and then when once we got it, I am not good. We want another one, and then we want this one, right? But with God, we know that He never changed. When we put our hope in Him, and He's what I shared during one of our calls, when we put our trust in the unchangeableness of God, we have hope. Yeah, this is what we can secure our hope on. Amen. All right. And we don't want to put hope in our patience. Sometimes, have you met people who are really, really patient? Have you met? Right? And then you say, oh, hopefully I can depend on this person because hopefully he doesn't change. We don't want that because no matter what, it may take more than what we usually see, but that patience can run out in that sense. Yeah? So we want to have patience out of the hope that we know God never changed. Right? So we don't change. So when we don't change, we become a very patient person. We don't go, oh, like a headless chicken, basically. Oh, this one has changed, so I also want to change this. I also have to change that and all that. All right? This is speaking in terms of when we talk about in Ephesians chapter 4:14, right? When we are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then we won't be like this, right? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Because, as it says, in the last days, this kind of man or woman as well will come to shake us. All right? cunning man in deceitful schemes, basically. And again, if you read Timothy, Paul warns Timothy of this kind of man that will come in slowly to lead people away from the faith. So if we don't know what we are hoping on, right, and if we don't have that patience of, no, this is not right, I know what the Word of God says, so I can't just simply waver and change, then this will help us in the time of testing. Amen? All right? So patience, the Bible also describes, the word patience also is long-suffering, which means sometimes when things don't go well, we also don't simply change just because things don't go well. We must know what we are hoping on. Amen? Right? And if we trust God and if we put our faith in Him, then when the times of testing comes, we will be overcomers. Right? And this is what we need in these last days. Okay? Everyone say with me, what's the first one? Faith of work or work of faith, labor of love, and patient of hope. Okay? So, and the last one, okay? So I'll just conclude with this scripture. This is the last scripture and I'll conclude. So here, it says that in 2 Timothy 2:11-13, this is a faithful saying, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. So it's an encouragement to Timothy, right? No matter what's going on, right, on the outside, put our faith in the Lord Jesus, because even if we died with him, we will live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So if we look here, this passage of scripture itself, you can do a whole message on it. But I just want to show you here. You see here, he's basically saying, Timothy, know who you are in Jesus. Or firstly, know who Jesus is. Know who we are in Jesus. Because as we endure, we will reign with him. Amen? All right? And, okay. So, if we conclude. All right, so conclusion. The first one is, in the last days, there will be perilous times. So this, again, is a warning for all of us. In the last days, there will be perilous times. Not only perilous times, perilous people to give you this stress, this hardship, right? But our foundation, and which comes out today in these three things that I talk about, the faith, the love, and the hope that we have, right, will help us to go through these times of testing. Amen? All right? And these three things, if we want to build it, right, not only do we need to build it on our foundation, Jesus, but as in the book of Timothy says, and exhort one again and again, is that we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Okay? And in Galatians 5:22-23, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on, you can see that fruit of the Spirit is in there. So as we depend on the Holy Spirit for all this, we can see these three characters come out or build in our lives. Amen? All right? So, and the last one here is that we have a great God who has prepared a great destiny for us. So put our trust again back into Jesus. Amen? And as I've gone through all the different people that we learn about in Daniel class or in the Derek Prince foundational series, right? Whenever there is a study on a character, or like what Grace shared last week about David and Saul, Daniel, Joseph, David, Samuel, right? This is how I look at it, three ways that we can learn from them. Okay, number one is historical lesson. Let's put Daniel as an example. Okay, so, okay, sorry, let me tell you. These are the three filters, basically, what I use, right? What is the historical lesson here? What is the moral lesson here? And lastly, what's the prophetic lesson that I can learn? So from Daniel, just in brief, it's interesting to know that the Jews, once upon a time, were captured by this kingdom called Babylon, right? Babylon. And then when the kingdom of Babylon becomes kingdom of Medium Persian, okay, and so on. Okay, I'm just testing your history. All right, just to know the history, that because the Bible is a historical book, right? It's interesting to see there is, last time there is this guy named Daniel, right, who came to be, you know, quite high in the rankings, you know, things like that. And you see from the historical lesson, you see how, firstly, how God deals with his people, right? Why were they captured? Because they disobeyed. What did they disobey? Disobeyed the Sabbath and so on. So these are what I characterize as historical lessons. Okay? And back to what we when we were in Europe, a lot of times, or maybe some of these tour guides, after they give the history lesson, they always say, it is important to learn history. Why? Because we learn either from the mistakes or we learn from what the... But most of the time in Europe, weirdly, it's always something to learn from mistakes, because the things that happens in Europe is just another thing, like that mercy and compassion. I just like, how is it so many innocent lives has been, you know, lost on Europe? And it's just, we just need to ask for God's mercy so that, you know, that Satan doesn't have the legal right to hold on Europe. Amen? All right, sorry, I'm going astray. Okay, historical, right? Daniel. Then moral, we know that Daniel is humble. Daniel seeks God. Daniel doesn't defile himself. That's a moral lesson. Then the last one, which is what I want to focus on, is the prophetic lesson. Prophetic lesson is basically, for me, to put it simply, whatever I learn, how is it applying to me now? Right? Like the book of Daniel is talking about being in the world but not of the world. So for me, prophetically, what it's saying that even though we as the church are in the world, we cannot be part of the world, right? And not only that, the church will arise, right, with the answer, because God speaks to us through dreams and vision. Can you see that it doesn't just apply to Daniel? It also applies to us right now, that that God is raising up the church to have the, quote-unquote, we pray this a lot, right, having the spirit of Daniel. And when we say, Lord, let the spirit of Daniel arise, can we say that arise in us as well? Can we say that? Because we are part of the church. We are meant to have the answer. God speaks to us. And men, I'm just talking men in general, or mankind, will seek for answers. And they, in the times of shaking, we are the one that is going to be strong, and we are going to be the ones that come up with the answer. Amen? Just like Joseph as well. It's interesting to know Joseph was in Egypt. There was last time this kingdom called Egypt, so on and so on, right? The moral story is what? He was patient, he was humble. But prophetically speaking, when we talk about let the spirit of Joseph arrive, what does that apply to us now? Right? A man who has the answer, basically, who was put in basically the center of the world system, but yet is not of the world. He's in there, but he was in there for a purpose. He's in there, in the end, is to turn all the glory back to God, to show the world that our great God exists, right? There is a great God who loves us, and who not only loves us, cares for us, but wants us to succeed, wants us to overcome in these times of testing. Amen? Right? And maybe last one I use is, say, David. Right? David, historically, again, it is this boy, shepherd boy, rise up to be king, like what you call the best king of Israel. Let's just put it that way, right? Historical speaking. Moral lesson, again, he was humble. He always seek God, right? He's a man after God's heart. But then, prophetically speaking, how does that apply to us? When we pray, we say, let the spirit of David arise in all of us. What does that mean? Because when David faced Goliath, what does that mean? Right? Goliath represents the spirit of Antichrist that will come in perilous times. That's an example of a perilous man that will come to against the church. Right? And we, as David, will we arise and say, I come to you in the name, not the Lord of Israel, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we arise and say that when the time comes, when we are being pushed, right, can we arise and be a voice and say, no, that's wrong, because I come to you in the name of... Can you see now what I mean by when we talk about character, when we study characters, these three filters, the one that I'm focusing on is that prophetic lesson because it applies in the last days. So whenever we read Old Testament now, whenever we read about David, Samuel, Joseph, all these people, it's applicable to the last days. Yeah? All right? So when we learn all this, not only we learn it because for history's sake, for moral sake, yeah, moral probably is good to build, like, you know, humility and all this, but last, what's going to help us during the time of testing is how these people have used their faith in God and how they demonstrate faith, love, and hope, right, in their own lives in order to come against the perilous times or perilous people. Amen? All right, so as we just call the worship team, and let's conclude with this song. I hope it's built on nothing less but Jesus. Amen? Pastor Joseph's favorite song. Thank you, Lord.